Today, Shir is a Masechta Menachas on Daf Yud Aleph. We will begin on the last line of Daf Yud Amid Beis with the words, Kamatz V'Olo B'Yorei Tzror. The Gemara here is referring back to the Mishnah on Daf Vav Amid Aleph, where the Mishnah stated that if the Kohen made Kmitza on the Mincha, V'Olo B'Yorei, and he came up in his hand with the flour, there came up at Tzror a pebble, a gargur melech, or a grain of salt, as we turn to Daf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph, oi koret levoina, or a koret of levona, the halach is its puzzle. What is a koret levona? Koret levona is a small particle of a levona. When it came to the ketores, so the levona was ground up into powder. But here, where it was placed on the mincha, it was placed in particles equal to a fistful, a koimetz, but made up of small particles, blocks, which are called teardrops of levona, and levona is frankincense. So if when he did the kmitz on the flour, part of the flour was a korot levona, it's possible, Rashi says, mipnei shahakometz chaser kidei makam akorot, because the korate, that small particle, that small block of levona, is taking up space where there should have been the flour of the kmitza, and therefore it's missing a shear. If it's missing a shear, it's possible. And so too, if there came up a pebble or a grain of salt, it would possible the koimetz, the kmitza that he is making. Now Rashi asks the kasha, the top line at the end of the line, v'yim taimar, Kates that koimetz. How do you do kmitz at all? If you're telling me that a korot levona would pasul, v'halo levona al haminchahi. Where is the levona placed? It's placed on the mincha. Dichsiv, as we find in Vayikra Vav, kol halavoina asher al hamincha. The entire frankincense, the entire levona that's on the mincha. So every time a kohen is going to do kmitz, automatically he's going to l'cha'ora, scoop up with the flour, he's going to scoop up some levon, and then it would passel it. Tshuva l'davar answers Rashi, kishe kaimetz, when he does kmitza, mesalak al levona kulu l'tzad echad. Einach nami, at the beginning, the levona is put on the entire mincha. But when he's about to do the kmitza, he moves over the levona to one side, and on the rest of the mincha, there is no longer any levona. Then he does the kmitza, the kometz, hasol, it's mamtsakli. He does the kmitza from the middle of the vessel, where the roiv shamna, where most of the oil has gathered, that's the place where he's supposed to make the kmitza, and on that area, usually there is no levona. So here, where he scooped up a levona, in fact, it is possible because it is chaser the shear of kmitza of the flour. Ask the Gemara, kol hani lomali. Why, in fact, do I need three cases? Why couldn't the Mishnah have just said one of these three cases? And I know the rule that whenever you're missing in the shear of the kmitza, it's possible. So the Gemara answers, tzricha. I need all three cases. The Tanitzor, if it would just say in the Mishnah, a pebble, mishum, delav, basak, ravahie. That I understand, that that's a chsorin in the shear of the kmitza. It's soiser the kmitza. It contradicts the kmitza. It's missing a piece of the flour that should be in the kmitza. And therefore, since a pebble is not brought on the mizbeach, therefore, it will pasul. Avol melech but salt. The basak ravahi. Salt is brought as part of the hakravahi here, as part of the sacrifice on the mizbeach. As Rashi tells us in Divri Amaschal melech basak ravahi, de la'achr shahoya koimetz al mizbeach, hoya molchai. After the koimetz was placed on the mizbeach, he used to salt it. And Rashi brings down the Gemara in the third perek on Daf Chav Amud Aleph, where the Gemara states, Yochalte mincha kula tuuna melech. I would think maybe the whole mincha, not just the kmitza, but the entire mincha requires salt. Talmud Loimer, the pasuk says, al kol korboncha takrav melech, that salt is supposed to be put on your entire korban. So the Gemara deduces there in Daf Chav, korban ton melech. whatever is brought as a sacrifice requires salt. Ve'en kol ha-mincha tuna melech. But the entire mincha, you're not bringing the entire mincha. You're only bringing the kmitza from the mincha. It's only the kmitza that requires melech, but the kmitza does require melech. So therefore, I would have thought that even if a rock is pasul, a pebble, however, salt that's is roy to the mizbeach, it's brought as part of the kmitza. It should be considered as part of the kmitza. It should not take away. It shouldn't be soysa the kmitza. Kamash malon, that even salt, a grain of salt, will passel the kmitza because it's chaser, it's missing. V'itana melech. And if it would have said melech, I would say only melech is not good if it's part of the kmitza. Deloy ikva bahari mincha mikor. As we just learned in the Rashi, that at the beginning when the mincha is placed in the klishoris, and we put the levoin on top of the mincha, we do not salt it. It's only later when we do the kmitza and we put the kmitza on the mizbeach. That's when we salt it. Ava levoina. But the levoina, the ikva bari mincha, that is established together with the mincha right from the beginning. As we saw the pasuk on the second line of Rashi, kol halavoina asher ala mincha, that the levoina is placed totally on the mincha, right from the start, right when you're Mekadosh in the Kli Shoris. So I would have thought, Ema Tiskasher, I would have thought that a Korit Lavona, a small particle of Lavona that's part of the Kemitza, that would not be Soysa the Kemitza, that would not be a Chesorin in the shear of the Kemitza. Kamash Malon, that even by a Korit Lavona, that also puzzles. So Rashi asks the Kasher, in the middle of the Rashi Divra Maschel, Melech Basak Ravihi, Ve'i Kashiv Lishmin and Levoina V'chol Shechein Soror Melech. Now, says Rashi, I have another Kashiv. Why doesn't it just say Levoina, which is the biggest Chiddush, and if that passels, then it's certainly salt and a pebble will passel. Tritz, answer to follows. As follows. E tana Levoina Bereisha, you're right. If Levoina would have been placed first, Hachinami, I wouldn't have to write the other two. Since it says a pebble in the beginning, tunnel levoina umelch. Therefore, it also states levoina melch. In other words, Rashi is saying that the Mishnah is going mikal el akavod. It's going from the smallest chiddush, which is salt, up through, the smallest chiddush, which is a pebble, the tzror, up through melech, and finally to the biggest chiddush, levoina, which is placed together with the mincha right at the beginning, right at the start. And it's a basakarov on the mizbeach, so I would have thought that levoina does not pasul, kamashman, that even levoina going mikal alakovit from pebble to, through salt to levoina, that it should not pasul, kamashman, that it does pasul even levoina. But Einachanami, if it would have said just Lavona, I would have had all three included in Lavona, but the Tana wanted to go Mikal El HaKovid, from the easiest one to the hardest one. Continues the Gemara, quoting the next part of the Mishnah, why is the Korot Lavona and the Tzror and the Gargar Melech Pasul, Mibnesha Amru HaKoyim Etzachosar Ayeser Pasul, because Chazal said that if there is anything missing from the Komets or extra, it is pasul. Ask the Gemara, my Iriyum Shemchasa V'yeser, why is it pasul? Because it's more or less. Here, actually, of course, as we explained, it's less. It's less than the shear. V'teipagle Mishum Chatzitza. Why don't we say a different reason? Because you have a Chatzitza. You have a separation. As Rashi tells us, Tu Pshatim. Rashi Devriya Maschel, my Iriyah, the Choytzitz Ben Yodi Lekemach. The chatzitza paisas b'kachim. Chatzitza is absorbed in kachim, and therefore his fingers are not grasping onto the flour, but rather he has a separation. The pebble or the salt or the lavona is separating between his fingers and the flour. Inami, says Rashi, there is a separation in the komets itself because you need a continuous flow of the kemach. You have a pebble, let's say, in the middle of the kmitza, so it's not continuous. It divides the kmitz up. It looks like as if you have two divided, separated kmitzas. And therefore, there's a chatzitza, not between his fingers and the kemach, but rather in the kemach itself, it's not continuous. That's the Gemara's kasha. So why do you have to say the psul? It's because of chaser. So the Rishash brings an interesting raya from this Rashi to a Shaila, which would seem to have no shachas with this Gemara, and that is a Shaila in Hilchas Tefillin. There were Seferim at the time of the Rishash who claimed that the Tefillin Shel Roish that they would make from a skin was considered Or Echad. It was all made of one skin, although it was cut with various cuts in the skin, but there was a connection in the middle, and that connection in the middle made it, deemed it to be considered as if it was one skin, or echad. And the Rishash says, from our Gemara, you see with the Kal v'Chomer that it's not considered or echad, because our Gemara says that where you have a kemitza which is connected from all sides, but it only has one division in the middle because of that pebble that's in the middle, so you don't have a continuous flow. And Rashi says it looks like it's considered two halves of a kaimitz and not a continuous kaimitz. So if that's not considered one kaimitz, kal v'chomer, if all it's connected by is the skin in the middle, but all around it has cuts in it. So certainly it's not considered one continuous or echad. The lashon of the Rishash is, mikan nira tshuva lahasayfrim, hanoyagin lachtoicha or shal beis hatfilin shal roish, b'kitzaysav, v'yomrim dekivin de mechuber rak emtsoy nikra dayin or echad. They consider, even though it's cut all over, but if it's connected in the middle, it's Or Echad. V'royani hadvorim kal v'chomer. The Rishash says, from this Rashi here, I see a kal v'chomer that it's certainly not considered Or Echad, because if the kemitz is not considered one because of the separation of the pebble, then kal v'chomer, the Or is not considered one if it's only connected in the middle and it's cut up all around. Getting back to the Gemara, we're trying to answer the Kasha. Why are you saying the psul here is because it's chaser, l'char the psul is because of chatzitza? Of Rabbi Yirmiya min hatzad. So Rabbi Yirmiya says, I'll give you a case where there is no chatzitza, and yet it's psul because it's chaser. As Rashi explains, and for this, we really have to know the Gemara, which is going to begin in the next line, exactly how kmitza is made. But briefly, the act of kmitza is where a person, where the kohen puts his hand into the flour with the fingers to the side. In other words, the thumb will be on top, his pinky will be at the bottom. He goes into the flour, scoops it up, and when he scoops it up, then he turns his palm upwards, and the back of his hand is facing down towards the flour. At that point, the thumb is on the side, and the finger plus the fourth finger, which we're going to see in the next Gemara, is called the kmitza finger, because that's where the kmitza ends, with that fourth finger. So those fingers are on the side now. Now that he's flipped over his hand with the palm up so that he doesn't let any of the flour escape, that's why it's called menetzad. So if you have a pebble, for example, sticking out of the tube, when he closes his fingers to make a fist so that his fingers are now lying on top of his palm, he has created a tube. The flour is in that tube. At the edge of the tube, with no chatzitza to the fingers and no chatzitza between one area of the kmitza to the other area of the kmitza, it's not that the pebble's in the middle of the kmitza, it's all the way at the edge of the tube that he has formed now with his fist. And even though it's not a chatzitza, but still it will be puzzle because it's chaser, it's missing from the shear that he's supposed to have of the flour that's taken up now by the pebble or the grain of salt or the kairit levina. Amar le Abai le Rava, Ketzad Kaimtzim, how do we do the actual act of kmitza? Amar le, so Rava responded, Kedev Kamtzi Inshi, the regular way that people do it. So Rashi says, the Gemara understood what Rava was answering is, just like a person would scoop something up, he would scoop it with all his fingers. And on that, the Gemara is going to challenge it from a Braisa. Eisvael asked you a Kasha. The Braisa is speaking about the order of the fingers, what each finger is called. And the Braisa says, the smallest finger, Zuzeris, that's the Zeris, referring to the pinky. Why is it called the Zeres? Because the Choshen of the Kohen Gadol, the breastplate that he wore on his chest, was Zeres Orchov, Zeres Rochba. It was a Zeres in length and in width. What is a Zeres? When a person spreads his hand out, the space between his pinky and his thumb, that is called a Zeres. And since it starts from his pinky, that's why the pinky is called a Zeres. It equals a half a Amma. The Shas Tshuva of Rashba, Hey, Simen Kuf Mem Zayin, has a discussion whether this is a Chatzi Amma, where the Amma is six Tvachim, as we'll soon see in Rashi, that the Amma that was used in building the Beis HaMikdash and the Kelim were six Tvachim, or is it referring to the Amma of the Mizbeach? By the Mizbeach, many of the dimensions are only Hey Tvachim, five Tvachim. So was this Zeres a half Amma of the larger Amma of six Tvachim, or was it of the smaller Amma of Hey Tvachim? The next finger, the fourth finger, Zu Kmitza. This is called the Kmitza, because, as we're going to learn, when the Kohen made Kmitza, he did it with the fourth finger, the long middle finger, and the index finger. Those three fingers. He did not use the pinky, he did not use the goitel to scoop up the flour. And right here is where the Gemara is asking the Kasha on what we understood that Rava was answering Abaye. We thought that Rav is saying, can it become Sienchi, like a person normally scoops up with using all five fingers. Here we see that we begin with the fourth finger. So we see right away, not like we understood what Rav is saying. You're not using the Zeres, the pinky. And we'll see what the Gemara will answer. But first, let's finish the Brisa as far as the names of the other fingers. The next finger, the middle longest finger, Zu Amma. This is an Amma. Why is it called an Amma? Because how did one measure an Amma? It was when you have a bent elbow from the edge of the elbow when the arm is bent until the end of the fingers going to the middle finger, which is the longest. That is the sheer Amma. And since we're using the middle finger, that's why that finger is called an Amma. Rashi says that there were two rods in a room in the Beis HaMikdash, which was called Shushan HaBira, and they used those two Amos, those two rods, to measure the Binyan and the Kelim. And therefore, it would appear from Rashi, since he's equating the Amma finger here with the Amos that were used to build the Mishkan, those were the Beis HaMikdash, those were six Tvachim, as we mentioned. So Rashi seems to indicate that the shear from the bent elbow until the top of the middle finger is, in fact, six Tvachim. However, others are of the opinion that this was not the shear for the larger Amma of six Tvachim, but rather it was for the shorter Amma of five Tvachim, as we mentioned, which was used in the dimensions of the Mizbeach. Continues the Braisa, Zu Etzba. The index finger, the next finger, the one closest to the thumb, is called the Etzba. And when the Torah speaks about the Kohen dipping his Etzba into the Dam of the Chatas and the Por Aduma, or the oil of the Metzorah, he's referring to this index finger, and it is called the Etzba. And finally, we have the thumb, Zu Goydel. This is the thumb upon which the Kohen would place on the behoinos of the Metzorah. On his thumbs, he would place the oil and the dum, which the Metzorah needed for his kapara. So after we finish this Braisa, we have Akasha. You told me that you use all the fingers for Kmitza. Here we see that you don't use all the fingers. The Gemara answers, Ella Lahashweis. In fact, as we're soon going to see in the next few lines of the Gemara, you only use three fingers. But the thumb and the pinky were used to smooth out any flour that was sticking outside of the three fingers, which formed the tube, as we discussed before. So he would use the thumb on top, and he would use the pinky on the bottom to smooth out and get rid of any excess flour. But in fact, all five fingers were not used for the actual Kemitza. So now we have to understand when Rava said Kenemkamtsi Inshi, he didn't mean in terms of scooping up with five fingers. He meant that just like a person, when he would go into, normally, into the flour, he would use the side of his hand to go into the flour and then to scoop it up and then turn his hand over with the back towards the flour and his palm upwards, that's Kenemkamtsi Inshi. There is a very interesting machlokes between the Griz HaLevi, Rav Elul Brisker, and the Tiferes Yisrael. When exactly was the lahashvois done? When was the thumb and the pinky used to remove the excess flour? The Rav Elul Brisker is of the opinion that it was done inside when the kohen had his hand in the flour. He already manipulated his thumb and pinky to get rid of any extra flour within that tube of the three fingers, the middle three fingers. Because once he took his hand out, according to Rav Elul, that's already the kmitza. He can't do anything anymore to his hand. It has to be ready when he comes out of the flour. However, the Tiferes Yisrael holds that he took it out, and at that point, he was mashra, he made it equal, that it shouldn't be any excess. He smoothed out the top and the bottom using his thumb and a pinky. He did not do it while it was in the flour. The Shita tells us that the next two lines from after the words Elu Lahashvois until Hechi Ovid, we are not Goyra. So let us begin with Hechi Ovid. How actually did the Koyin do the Kemitza? Amar Rav Zutra Batuvi Amar Rav Choyfe Sholosh Etzboisov. He closes his three middle fingers, ad shemagiyam al pasyari, until he comes to the palm of his hand, v'koymetz, and then he makes the kemitza. Tanya nami hachi, we learned like this in the Brice as well, meloy kumtzai, the pasuk says it should be a full koymetz. So from that lashon of a full koymetz, yachol mevaretz, I would think that even if the flour is overflowing, tam alomer, no, there's this big kumtzai, there's another pasuk that says it has to be done precisely with the koymetz, not overflowing. If I have that pasuk of bekumtzai yochel b'rashi atzboisav, I would think that he can bend back the tips of his fingers until the tips do not reach the palm, as Rashi explains, but rather reach the base of those fingers, and that will be the kmitza. So it's a very limited amount of space on his hand. Talmud loymer meloy kumtzai. Therefore, the pasuk says, no, we make it larger. So what's the precise amount that you have to have? Not to have it overflowing, not to have it less than necessary. He closes Sholosh Etzboisav, Al Pas Yodai. He closes his three fingers, the three middle fingers, on the palm of his hand, and he makes Kemitza. And now the Braisa continues, B'machvas uv'marcheshes, with a flat keli, and marcheshes is the deep keli in which the flour was baked, and now it's very hard. Moichek begoidloi melmalo, he has to smooth out with his thumb on top, ubeetzboi ktana melmata, and with his pinky on the bottom. Because after it was baked, as Rashi brings down in Divrei Maskil Barashi et Spoiso, Ibn Machos Marcheshes, Rashi says that we did the act of Psisa, in which the Mincha was broken up, crumbled up, but each piece had to have at least a Kezias. So now, when he has these Kezasim in his palm, and they're sticking out, he has to take his thumb on top and smooth it out, and he has to take his pinky on the bottom and smooth it out as well. V'zui avoida kasha shabim migdash. And this was the most difficult avoida in the base hamigdash. So what we need to explain is that it seems from this Gemara that we're only smoothing it out with the thumb and the pinky by mincha that's made in a machvas or marcheshes, which is baked. But let's say a mincha soilus, which we were speaking about before, which is not baked, it would seem that this is not necessary. However, we could learn, and there are those who learn this way, that all minchas require the smoothing out. It's just that it was difficult, since the Braisa here is speaking about the difficulty, the Avodah Kasha, that was difficult, since you're speaking about a hard thing. And what was the difficulty? One could learn that you needed the physical dexterity of the thumb is not so difficult because you have power with your thumb. But at the bottom, with your tiny pinky, to be able to break off a part of the baked mincha that was baked in or fried in a machvas marcheshes, so that was very difficult. So we could learn. And really, as we said, it could be you needed to do this by mincha solis as well, but there it was very easy to do because it was just flour. That could be easily have been done with the pinky. However, from the Rashi in the first wide line, we see that the kushi is something else. At the end of the first wide line, at the bottom of the Amud, Shabekushi gadol hu mashve shaloye loy chasav layayser. Don't forget that he has to have the exact amount that is not sticking out from his fist, from the tube, as we described it before. It's not less than the shear. So to be able to smooth that out perfectly, that it's not chaser and it's not yeser, that is the Avodah Kasha of Mikdash. That's how Rashi learns. And also we find Rashi in Yuma on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis tells us that by Mincha Soilus, they didn't do Hashvo at all. Because Rashi's Lashon there is on the top of the Yomid there, Yuma Mem Zayin Amud Beis, the Kasha Kemitzasim Eli Yais Mavu Retzes, Yaiser Mikmitzas Mincha Soilus. The ones of the Machlis and the Marcheshes, that's very difficult, because by Mincha Soilus, Rashi says, Shebi Rutzeha, Neifle Me'alein. Whatever is over the amount is sticking out from the tube of the fist, that falls by itself. You don't have to smooth it out. So from Rashi and Yuma, Mem Zayin, it would seem to be clear that it's only Machlas or Marcheshes where Moiche Begoydloi Momala Ubetzboi Ktana Mil Mato. Continues the Gemara, Zehu Vesuloi. This is the only avoided Zuhi avoided Kasher B'Migdash to smooth out by the Mincha of Machlas or Marcheshes. And there was no other avoided Kasher. It's Voyeka Malika. What about Malika? Malik, as we learned in Zvachim, even if, like the Shittas that say that the bird was held in the left hand, and that freed the Kohen's right thumb to make the Malika, but he had, by the Chatasoif and the Oilasoif, he had to cut the spinal cord, and he had to make sure not to cut Roiv Basar that was surrounding it. Then he would go and cut one simen, and then when he took his thumb out, then he would cut the roiv buster that was surrounding it. And to do all this in a very small bird, that was a very difficult malacha. The Gemara asks for a chvina. We have another very difficult malacha, and that is chvina. Chvina concerns the keteiros, where he had to use both of his palms at the beginning of bringing the keteiros and later on as well. At the beginning, he had to scoop up using both of his palms to put it onto a kaf, onto a ladle, and then he had to put the handle of the ladle under his elbow, and with the tips of his fingers, he would empty out the kaf into his two palms without anything spilling. So that was a very difficult avoda to do. So the Gemara says, why do you only say that the smoothing out of the mincha of Machlas Marchesh was difficult? Ella zui achas me avoidus kashish b'megush ein echanami. There were three avoidus kashish. This is one of the very difficult avodos in the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Papa said, Rapapa, pshitali maloi kumtsoi kinekamtsi inchi. I understand that when the Torah speaks about Maloi Kamsa, it means like people normally make mitzah. On this, Rashi says in the third wide line at the bottom of the Amud, Kedemakam Tzienchi, Machnas Tzidi Etzboisov, V'doichik B'kemach, V'akemach Nichnas B'toich Yadoi. That the way he does kmitzah is he puts in the side of his fingers, as we explained, that the thumb is on top and his pinky's at the bottom, and he presses down on the flour, and the flour enters into his hand. So it was seen from Rashi, and that's what the way the Tveres Yisrael learns, that he forms a tube in the flour, and with pressure, the flour is brought into that tube. However, the Chafetz Chaim learns that he merely sticks his hand into the flour, scoops it up, and then outside of the flour, he then closes his fingers on top of the palm. He doesn't form a tube to begin with, and through the pressure of putting the tube, his fist, into the flour goes into that tube, but rather it's scooped up into an open palm, and then outside of the flour, he then closes his fingers on top of the palm. This is a fundamental machlokes between the Tveris Yisrael and the Chafetz Chaim. Now, the Rambam doesn't bring the whole halacha of three fingers. The Rambam understands, kedemakamtzi inshi, that you use five fingers. And the Kesef Mishnah explains that he learns that when Rapapa makes the statement of Meloi Kumtzi kedemakamtzi inshi, he wants to argue on the Gemara before. The Gemara before, we learned that you have to have three fingers, not five. And Rapapa is saying, no, that you do a normal scoop, like people would do normally, and that is five. And since Rapapa is a Basroi, he came later, halachas kabasroi, that's why the Rambam paskin, like Rapapa, against what we learned in the Gemara before, in Rava, that you actually only use three fingers. However, the Chafetz Chaim in his Sefer Zevach Taidah says that Rapapa doesn't mean to argue on what we learned before. Avada, he holds also, you only use three fingers. When he said kedemakamtzi inshi, he meant that it has to be a normal kmitza. And now Rapapa, boy Rapapa, is going to ask a bunch of questions of a kmitza which was done shaloi kedarka, in not a normal fashion, whether that is good or not. So when Rapapa said kedemakamtzi inshi, he was just making an introduction that I understand, of course, normal, that's considered a kmitza. A person puts his hand in from the side, and he scoops up, it's only three fingers, as we said before, but it's done in a normal way. What happens if you're going to have now all kinds of different kmitzas which are not normal? That's what Rapap is trying to say. He's not coming to argue on Rava. However, the Rambam learned that it's a machlaikis, halachik basroi, and that's why he held that you have to use five fingers for the kmitza, and not, like we learned before, only three fingers. The Chafetz Chaim, in fact, brings a Gemara in Yuma Mem Zayin, which would indicate that it's only three fingers. Talmud Loimar, Meloi Kumtzai, Kinokamtzi Inshi. Ha Ketzad, how is that done? Choyfe Gimel Etzpoisav. So we see clearly from the Gemara in Yuma that even though the Gemara uses the same terminology as Rapapa here, Meloi Kumtzai, Kinokamtzi Inshi, but it's not referring to five fingers. In fact, it's referring only to three fingers. And now Rapapa asks various questions. Boy, Rapapa, Kamatz, Berosh Etzpoisav, we did Kemitza using the tops of his fingers. This is not like the Gemara that we had before, where we said Rosh Etzpoisav is that he is bringing down the top of his fingers to the base, because that certainly is possible. But rather, here we're speaking about that he scoops it up, not putting his fingers on the side with the thumb on top and the pinky on the bottom and entering the kemach that way, but rather he puts his entire palm into the flour. His palm is facing the flour, which is under it. He scoops it up, but then he has a regular kmitza. Well, is that considered a normal kmitza or not? Or does he bedafka have to do it with the fingers being at the side? Min hatstadim mai. And here, Rashi has two pshatim. One pshat is that he takes the back of his hand and puts it down into the flour, and then all the flour comes from all sides into the palm of his hand. Is that acceptable? Or another pshat is, Rashi says that he takes from the side of the kli and not from the middle of the kli. Is that acceptable? And finally, mimato lomai lomai. Again, the back of his hand is facing the kemach, and then he puts his fingers into the kemach, not his whole hand, but his fingers, and with the top of his fingers, he brings the flour into the palm of his hand and makes the kmitz in that way. The din of all three, the answer is teku. We do not have a clear resolution of these three shilas. Amar Rapapa. Rapapa now is going to ask a shila concerning chafina. We mentioned before there are two chafinas. Here we're going to speak about the first chafina, when he is scooping up with two palms and he's going to be putting it into the cuff, into the ladle. So Amra Papa Pshitali Moloi Chafnav Kid Chafni Inshi, as people normally do it, which Rashi says means that he's going to put his hands sideways, just like you make kmitza. He's going to do it by chafina, the same thing, put the sides of his hands in and then scoop it up. And then he's, as he scoops it up, he turns the back of his hand downward so that when he comes out of the Ketairis, his two palms are facing him and the back of his hands is towards the bottom. That's how he scooped it up together with his two palms. That's the normal way. Boy, Rapapa, Chafan, Barashay, it's Boys of Mahu. And this question of Rashi Etzboisov is exactly identical to the Rashi Etzboisov that we had concerning Kmitza, that he took his tops of his fingers, entered them into the Kamach, his palms were facing the Kamach, and that's how he scooped up the Ketoras. Is that acceptable by Chafina? The next shal is Min Hatzadim Mahu. Again, Rashi has two pshatim. Either he forms a tube between the thumb and the index, and the ketoras goes into that hole, or he takes from the sides of the keli. Chafan bezu ubezu v'korven zu etzuzuma. What happens if he didn't do two palms together, but he did a chafina with one palm, he did a chafina with another palm, and then he brought them both together? Is that acceptable or not? Teiku. Again, we have no resolution to these three shilas. Boy, Rapapa had another shilah. Dovke look kaimitz bedafni demona. My, what happens if he stuck the kaimitz on the side of the keli? Toich kli be'inon va'ika. Is the requirement, now we're going back to kmitza, is requirement of kmitza, you have to put it inside the keli, so I have it in the keli. Oidilma hanocha betoicha be'inon v'leka. It's not enough to have a hanocha in the keli, but you need it in the inside, at the bottom of the keli, not sticking to the sides of the keli. That would not be acceptable. Or is it enough that it's within the environs of the keli? Teiku, again, we have no resolution to the shayla. Boy, Marbara Vashi, Hof Chelamona, what happens if he turned the, he inverted the keli, the klishoris, upside down, v'dof keli kamitz barata. He put it not on the side of the keli, he put it at the bottom, but he didn't put it at the bottom in the normal way where it's facing upwards, but he inverted it. V'dafke l'kaimitz ba'arata demana mai. What is the halach if he did it to the bottom of the keli inverted? Hanocha b'tacha bina v'yekad. You just need it that it's placed within it, and you have that, and you have it at the bottom. Oy dilma kitikunai bina. You need it in its proper, normal fashion v'leka, and you don't have that here since it's inverted. On all this shaila too, we have the same response. Teiku tishbi yitar it's kushu v'boy is elio. Will come and have to answer all these shilas. Begins the Mishnah. Ketzad hu oisa. How does he do the maisa of kmitza? Poishet es ba'oisav. He extends his fingers al pasyori on the palm of his hand. And some say that actually this has to do with the last Mishnah, and it should have been part of the last Mishnah, and that the present Mishnah begins with the next words. Riba shamna. If he added to the loig shemen that was required for the mincha, how much he has to add in order for it to become possible, we'll see in the Gemara, but riba shamna he added, or chasar shamna. And here Rashi says that even a kolshu, we learn from the word mi shamna, shem chisar kolshu hu posel, and also chisar levoinosa, if he's missing in the levoina, it is also a psul. The shir of levoina, Rashi tells us, is a maloi hakoimetz. We learned this out from Gzeir Shava, and that these three things, Riba Shamna, Chisar Shamna, Chisar Levoinasa, are all possible. Rashi asks, V'i Kasha, listeni, let it say Riba Levoinasa. What about if he adds too much Levoina? Why doesn't it say that that's possible? The Gemara is going to discuss this on Amid Beis. Our Mishnah is some Mishnah Rab Meir, and the Gemara will also discuss that apparently Rab Meir Shita is that the koimetz of levoina that is necessary to be put on a mincha has to be there not only when you put it originally on the mincha, but even b'shas haktara of the koimetz, the same koimetz levoina has to be in existence. Nothing of it can be missing. This is the shita of Rameir, as we'll see in the Gemara in Amid Beis. Begins the Gemara. Hechi domi riba shimna. What's the case of riba shimna? Amar rab lozer kagoyin shehifrish lo shnei lugin. He separated, he was magdish two lugin for this mincha. So it would seem from these words that three conditions are necessary in order for him to make this shem and pasul. One is he has to be magdish, it can't be chulin. Number one, the amount, it says specifically, has to be shnei lugin. In other words, he has to add an extra log shemen. And the third condition is that it has to be mugdish for this mincha. If he would take of a chavruta, he would take a log shemen of another mincha, apparently it would not be possible. Ask the Gemara, v'luk makagoyin d'orav b'shemen d'chulin u'shemen d'chavruta. You seem to indicate that it must be shnei lugin, and without that it won't be possible. If he mixed in even a drop of shemen of chulin, or a drop of shemen of a different mincha, not the loig that was designated for this mincha, but from a different mincha, it should also possible. Why do you need two lugin, even a mashuhu of chavrata or dechulin should possible? V'chit heima shemen dechulin v'shemen dechavrata loig possible. And if you're going to tell me that in fact shemen of chulin or of the other mincha will not pasul, I'll bring you a raya that it does pasul. Maskel or Rav Zutta Bar Tuvia al miyativ. So minchas choyte the pasul by shemen. The halach is that if you put shemen on a minchas choyte, pasul is that heichim hashkachas lo. What's the case? Idido, if it's its own shemen, holesla. It doesn't have shemen. So therefore, if you're magdishit, the halacha will be that it will remain chulin. And you just told me that chulin doesn't pasul. Idu chulin udechavrta ho amrat loy pasul. And if it's shemen of chulin or shemen of different mincha, you just told me it doesn't pasul. So that's a raya that shemen of a different mincha or shemen of chulin does pasul, or else there's no hechatimsa that minchas choyte will pasul. And the next line we omit, which is in parentheses, we begin at the end of the line, and the Gemara gives the following teretz. Rabbi Lezer, loy mi bo yakomer. Rabbi Lezer is saying, of course, that if you have a drop of shemen of chulin or a drop of shemen of chavruta avadil pasul, because that has no shaychus to this mincha. But we're trying to tell you a chiddush that even if you have a loy shemen that has a shaychus with this mincha, loy mi bo yachulin de chavruta de pasul, because it has no shaychus with this mincha. Aval hifrish l'shnei lugin, but if he was mafrish two lugin for this mincha, hoyel v'hai chazilei, if I look at one loy, this loy could be for the mincha, v'hai chazilei. I look at the other loy, this loy could be for the mincha, aim a loy lif. So I would say that it would not pasul, kamash malan, that it does. Even though it has a shaychus to this mincha, each loy, still, if you brought them together, it would pasul. Now, Toises in Zvachim, Daf Lamed, Amid Aleph, asks the question, how is it possible to be magdish shnei lugin for one mincha? We have a rule, kol she'ein b'zeh achazeh, b'bas achas einoy, that if you cannot be magdish one thing after the other, then even if you're magdish them both together, it doesn't work. If he would be magdish one loik shemen for the mincha, and then subsequently would want to be magdish a second loik shemen, the second loik shemen wouldn't be chal de kedusha, because he already has designated one loik for this mincha. So how could he, in fact, what's the metzias, what's the case where he could be magdish at one time two lugin for the same mincha? Answers the Chazon Ish, it'll be speaking about a case where we find that a second korban is l'achrayis. For example, a person is magdish two chatos l'achrayis. It means that one of these two chatos is going to be the actual korban. In case there's a psul on that one, the other one is mugdish for achrayis. It's waiting in the wings to become the chatos that he's going to use. So it also has a kedusha because it's ready to step in if the first one becomes possible. Or we have a case of a person who's magdish shmoinim chalas for a toida, even though a toida only requires 40 chalas. But how could it be magdish shmoinim chalas? We have the same question. Kol she'ena b'zeh chazeh is b'vas achas einoy. So the answer is the one group of 40 chalas is for the toida. The other 40 is l'achrayis. In case the first 40, some psul happens with the first 40, there's a kedusha in the second 40 that they're waiting l'achrayis for the first 40. So I would have thought that in this case, it is possible to be magdish shnei lugin. They will both become mekudish in a case of achrayis. Kamash malon, that no, riba shamna, that if he added a whole other loig of shemen, even though it's didah, even though it has a shaychus, But still, the halacha will be Riba Shamna is possible, but certainly a mashahu of Chulin or of a different mincha would possible. The Rambam has an interesting psak in this Gemara, and the Rambam paskins that a mashu of chulin pasels, a mashu of a different mincha pasels when it comes to a shemen of this mincha itself, it has to be a whole other loig. In other words, let's say he was magdish 1.5 loigen, then it would not pasel. And it has to be a total of shnei logen. And it could be the Rambam holds like that because the Gemara keeps on stressing shnei logen. But in fact, the Chafetz Chaim tells us that the Rambam was medayik this from the Gemara's kasha. Because when the Gemara was questioning the three tznoim, that you need hegdish, and you need hegdish for this mincha, and you need two loigen of shemen in order to pasel, the Gemara says, I can give you two cases where you don't need two loigen of shemen. What are the two cases? One drop of chulin, one drop of another mincha, you don't need two loigen. But why doesn't the Gemara ask, even if it's a drop of, or a half a loig of its own shemen, you donated 1.5 loigen when you only had to do one loig for this mincha, why doesn't the Gemara ask that that should pasel? Elamai, the Rambam was medayik. The Gemara never had a havamina that 1.5, for example, should pasel. It's only a drop of chulin or a drop of chavrut that would pasel. In order to pasel its own shemen for its own mincha, there you have to have a whole other loig. However, if you look in Rashi, four lines from the bottom, Rashi doesn't learn like that. Rashi says, Avo beloig umachza kosal kadatach deloig mifsula. The Gemara's havamina was that a loig umachta doesn't pasel. But ein echanami, according to the maskan of the Gemara, according to Rashi, a loig umachta would pasel. The Rashi learns differently than the Rambam. Rashi argues on the psak of the Rambam. Continues the Gemara. Uminole the Rabbi Elazar, or how does Rabbi Elazar in fact know that shnei lugin of its own shemen for one mincha would pasel? Amarava masnisa kashisa, he had a diuk from the Mishnah. There was something bothering him from our Mishnah. My iridatani riba shamna, why does our Mishnah say that he added shamna with a hay at the end, its oil, listni riba lo shemen? Why didn't the Mishnah just say he added oil? And that would have included, chulin and chavrute and less than two lugin of its own. Why does it say riba lo shemen? El hakamashman de afal gav de hifrish lo shnei lugin. Even if he was marbe shamna, not only chavrata or chulin, but even if he was magdish two lugin for itself for this one mincha, it also pasels. That's how Rav Lezer was medayikit. That's how Rav says it. Rav Lezer, that's his diuk from our Mishnah. Continues the Gemara. There, the Gemara quotes the next part of the Mishnah. If there was a chsorin in Levina, it's possible. Tan Rabbana chasra v'amda al kairat echad psula. If from the original kaimitz of the Levina on the mincha, there is only left now at the time of haktara of the kaimitz, a particle, a small block of the frankincense of the Levina, it is possible. But if it was chasr al shnei karten kshera, but if you have at least two particles left, two small teardrops left, then it is, in fact, kosher divrei Rab Yehuda. You do not need, Rab Yehuda argues on our Stam Mishnah of Rab Meir, who holds that you have to have the whole kaimetz of Levana from the beginning of the mincha until the kaimetz is nikrav on the mizbeach. Rab Yehuda disagrees. Rab Yehuda says that at the time of Haktorah, you could have shnei korten, but if you only had one kairat of Levina, then it's possible. Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon says a bigger chiddush, al kairat echad ksheira. If it came down to one kairat, it's still kosher. Pachas mikan, if it's less than one kairat, then it's psula, otherwise it remains kosher. As we turn to Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Vatani, we learned in the Braisa, the Shita says that Rashi is not gairus the next three words in the Gemara, Rav Shimon Omer. The Gemara brings a stam Braisa, which states, Koimetz, and also the Shita tells us we're not garbis u Levoina, but rather Koimetz Levoina. A Koimetz of Levoina, Shechaser Kosher, that was missing a mashu was possible. You have to have the entire Koimetz Levoina. So Rashi says, Kemeduma li da Aribor Reb Shimon, Kaparach Minele Reb Shimon. So Rashi says that apparently the Gemara Apparently, Rashi says it appears that the Gemara must have understood that this statement in this brisa is being said by Reb Shimon. Mele, it's a stira Reb Shimon on Reb Shimon. Actually, the sheet in Ois Hei changes the gears of Rashi and says, Vahatanya koimetz levoina v'garsina betoisefta. Reb Shimon oimer koimetz levoina shechoser hilkach koporach mina d'Reb Shimon ad Reb Shimon. That in fact, the gears in Rashi is that Rashi found a Tosefta which states beferish that Reb Shimon says it. So Rashi wasn't gyrusit in our Gemara, but Rashi understood from the Tosefta that this is the Gemara's kasha. It's a steer from Reb Shimon on Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon on Amud Aleph said that if you're left bishas haktor of the kaimitz, you're left with one particle, you're left with one kairut of levain. It's kosher. And here Reb Shimon states in the Tosefta that you have to have the whole koimetz levoina, and if it's chas or even a mashu, it's possible. The Gemara answers the steer by two terutzim. Teretz number one, tani koimetz levoina shechas or koshu possible. Don't be goyrus. Koimetz levoina shechas or koshu, but rather koimetz levoina shechas or koshu is possible. And memela, it's Reb Shimon l'shitase on Amid Beis. The Tosefta is exactly the same as what Reb Shimon said, that if you at least have one kairut left, it's kosher. If it's less than one kairut, then it's possible. The Iboy is same, or I'll give you another teretz that really you could leave the girsa the way we have it, kaimitz levoina. But there's no stira. There's two kinds of levoina. Kam b'levoina bo ima mincha. When it's a levoina that comes with a mincha, then in the chanami, you can go down, you can be kosher until you have one kairit. So Rashi explains, because that is learned from a pasuk. Mikol halavoina sher al hamincha. And we say that that includes even if it's up to one kairit. However, where do you need the whole kaimitz? Kam b'levoina habo bifnei atzma. Here it's speaking about a voina that comes by itself. As we have further Gemara, the Gemara tells us on the Kufav Amid Beis, that if a person said Harei Alai Levoina, he was Menader Levoina to the base of Migdash, Yavi Mole Koimus Levoina on Mizbeach, he has to bring a full Koimus Levoina on the Mizbeach. And there, if it's missing a Mashu from the Koimus, it's possible. Because there we don't have a limud of Kol, which tells us Kol of is a filu kolshu. Sometimes the word kol means even a kolshu, but that is only found by the levoina that's on the mincha. There it says kol mikol halavoina asher ala mincha, and we say a filu kolshu. Whereas by a levoina that comes by itself, we don't have that word kol, and in melu we can't say a filu kolshu. There it has to be full at the time of akhtara, not missing anything. So that answers the stira in Rab Shimon. Am Rab Yitzchak, Rab Yosef, Am Rab Yechanan. Gimel machlokes bedavar. As we have spoken out already, that's what Rab Yitzchak, Rab Yosef was saying in the name of Rab Yechanan. That actually in this shaila of missing a piece of a levoina, whether it's kosher b'shas haktora of the kaimitz or not, we have a three-way machlokes. Rab Meir sover kaimitz betchilav, kaimitz besayif. Stam mishnishin is Rab Meir. Our stam mishnah on Amid Aleph said that if chiser levoinasa is psula, and that's speaking about at the beginning of the mincha and at the end, you must have kaimitz betchilav and kaimitz besayif. Rabbi Yehuda saver kaimitz betchilav shnei kart besayif. Rabbi Yehuda, as we saw in Amid Aleph, holds in the beginning, at the time when you put it on the mincha, then there has to be a full kaimitz. However, at the end, b'shas haktora of the kaimitz of the mincha, all you need is shnei karten besoif, two particles at the end. V'Reb Shimon, he's the biggest makel. Reb Shimon saver kaimitz betchilav v'kairit echad besoif, all you need is one kairit at the end. And now the Gemara tells us u'shloshed in all three of these sheets, Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, and Reb Shimon, all learn it out from one pasuk. Shloshed mikrayach darshu, because the pasuk says v'es kol halavoina asher ala mincha. So Rav Meir Sover, ad the isa levoina de ikva bahari mincha mikora. You have to have the whole levoina that you started, that's what you have to end up with. Rav Yehuda Sover, Rav Yehuda says no. Kol, the word kol, could mean afilu chad kairit. Kol tells me even a mashu, even a kol shuhu, and therefore even one kairit is sufficient. How does Rav Yehuda get to two kairitim? Because it says S, the pasuk says V'es kol alavoyna. So an S is a ribui. S l'rabbis karet acher. From kol, I have mikol, even a mashahu. I have even one card is good. Then I have S Koil, that's Marba's second card. Virab Shimon, as Rashi explains, he be'etzim holds like Rabbi Yehuda that Kol is telling me Mikol, that I could even have one karet, and the ribui of S, Lloyd Darsh, he doesn't darsh that, so that's why he winds up with one karet. The Rabbi Yitzhak Rabbi Yosef, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, before we go on, let's just point out that the Rambam paskins like the Shita of Rav Yehuda that says you need two kartim. And the question is, why doesn't he go with either like the Brisa here on the Amid Abayz on top, where Shimon says one karet, you can't have less than one karet, but one karet is sufficient, or the Mishnah on Amid Aleph of Rav Meir, Stam Masnis and Rav Meir, who says that it can't be missing anything. The Rambam takes a third shita. He goes like Rabbi Yehuda. What's the swar of that? So the Mefarshim explained, because since Rabbi Yochanan made a statement that there's Gimel Machloikis Bedover, it would seem from Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yochanan equated all three shitas. We don't look at the Stam Masnis Rav Meir, we don't look at the Stam Breiser Rav Shimon, we look at all of them, all three as equals. And therefore we have a psak in the Gemara that whenever Rabbi Yehuda is Choylik Al Chaverev, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So Memela, that's why here the Rambam paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that two korten is sufficient. The whole machloikis, the three women machloikis, is a levoina which comes with a mincha. Which we learned before, if somebody is menadav a levona to the base of Mikdash, he has to bring a koimetz levona. When it comes by itself, there's no machloikis. The Ivri HaKoil, everybody holds koimetz bitchila v'koimetz b'soif. You need a koimetz at the beginning, and you need a koimetz at the end. And why? How do we learn it? Because lahachi itzruch asher ala mincha debahade mincha in bifnei atzma loy. Because, for example, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon learned this out from Koil, that Koil tells me even a Koil shoe. Then the machloikis was, does S, is it Marba another karet or not? But when do they have their machloikis? They have their machloikis only with the levoina, which is asher ala mincha, the bahari mincha in, the only with the one that comes with the mincha, could there be difference of opinion whether nothing could be chaser, or up to two karetim, or up to one karet. But bifnei atzma, where you don't have this pasuk, that's maloi, there avada, everybody holds, you need a karet at the beginning, and you need a karet at the end. V'yom Rabbi Yitzchok bar Yosef, Am Rabbi Yochanan, machloikis b'levoin abo ima mincha. The machloikis of the three shitas, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, is a levoin, as we said before, that comes with the mincha. Avol b'levoin abo b'vezichen, but the levoin that comes in the spoons, which were put next to the lechem haponim, Divrei HaKoil, everybody holds, Shnei Kematzim Betchila, who Shnei Kematzim Besayif. Those Bezichin stayed on the Shulchan the entire week. Then at the end of the week, they were removed and brought on the Mizbeach, and then the Kohanim were able to eat the Lechem upon him. So the Levoina that comes in the spoons, that Divrei HaKoil, Shnei Kematzim Betchila, in each one you need one Kaimetz. So there's two at the beginning of the week when it's put there, Ushnei Kematzim B'Saifim. When you're makrovit on the Mizbeach, there also has to be Shnei Kematzim. There, there's no machloikis. Frag the Gemara Pshita. It's Pashad that that should be like that, because the only way you can get less is if it said the word kol, as we learned before in the Sugya. And by the Levoin of the Bezichin, it doesn't say the word kol. So the Gemara says, Mao, the same I would have thought. Kivin the Bahari Lechem Asiya, since they come with the Lechem upon him, Kasher Ala Mincha Damya, the Lechem upon him is also considered a Mincha. And so it's, we don't look at the Levoina as if it's by itself, I would have thought. But we learned whenever the Levoina comes by itself, there you need the whole Levoina at the end, Bishas Haktara. But here it's coming with the Lechem upon him. The Lechem upon him is a Mincha. So I should compare it to a regular case of Mincha, where the Levoina doesn't have to be whole at the time of the Haktorah of the Kaimetz. That's what I would have thought by Lechem upon him as well. Kamash Malon, that it is, since it's in a separate keli, it's in the kaf, and it's not put on the mincha, it's not together with the Lechem upon him, but it's in its separate unit, therefore we compare it to a case of a Levoina that comes by itself, and there you have to have the koimetz of Levoina in the beginning, and you have to have a koimetz at the end, and by Lechem upon him, you have two bezichin, so you have two kematzim at the beginning and two kematzim at the end. Pligi bar, Rav Ami, Rav Yitzchak Nachman, it's a machloikis. Chad Amar machloikis, b'levoin habor ma'mincha, the machloikis, the three-way machloikis is only by levoin that comes with mincha. Ava b'levoin habor b'fnei atz, b'levoin that comes by itself, where we don't have koil and es, we don't have those lemudim. So divri akol karmetz b'tchil v'karmetz b'tsoif. There, everybody's minded, you need a karmetz at the beginning and a karmetz at the end, as we've learned so far in the sugya, but now he says a chiddush, v'chad, and one of these two mandiyamim, we don't know which one, Amr b'machloikis b'zu, kach machloikis b'zu. Just like we have a machloikis by the case of a levina with a mincha, so too we have a machloikis, the three-way machloikis of Rameh, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, even by a levona that comes by itself, because we learn it from a bame matzinu, from a levona that comes with a mincha, whether you have to have it whole, whether it could be down to two kort to Mishas HaKtorah, or whether even if it goes down to one kort, it is sufficient. According to this man, the Yomar, there is a machlokes every time you have a levona, this three-way machlokes. Then the Mishnah said, chisa levenasa psula, that if you're, there's a chesorin in the Levoina, this is the Shita of Rav Meir, even a Mashu, it passels. But Rashi already told us in the Mishnah that the Gemara is going to ask this question. Ha Yasir Kosher. But if it's more, it's Kosher. Because by Shemen, the Mishnah says whether it's Chaser or Yasir, more or less, both are passel. But by Levoina, it only says if it's less. It would seem to be if it's more, it's Kosher. Vatanya Yasir Pasula. We learned that if you have too much Levoina, it's also passel. So it's a steer from the Brisa. Amarami Bar Chama, we could go in Shehif Rishla Shnei Kematzim. No, that if you were Marba up till another Kaimetz, let's say you did 1.5 Kematzim of Levoina, then it would be Kosher. 1.75 of Levoina, it would be Kosher. It's only possible if you did Kematzim, 2 Kematzim. So Mimela, when it says Yasir Psula, it means you did 2 kematzim. You added a whole other kaimetz, then it's pasul. But if you added less than a whole other kaimetz, that's the diuk from our Mishnah, that it is kosher. And we will understand this according to Rashi Shita and Amidal very well. We learned that Rashi argued on the Rambam, and Rashi holds that if you added 1.5 lugin, the Gemara in the Havamin on Amid Aleph thought 1.5 lugin of Shemin is kosher, but according to the Maskana, even 1.5 lugin, the way Rashi learns the Gemara, it is also pasul. And that's what the Chiddush is over here. So by Shemin, if it was yeser, if there was too much, even less than 2 lugin, it was only, well, let's say, 1.5 lug, it would also be pasul according to Rashi Shita. Masha Ankin over here, it's kosher. And that's why the Mishnah didn't say yes or is possible. Up till 2 is kosher. It's only if you doubled it, you made shnei kematzim, it is possible. And many of the Rishonim and Achronim are trying to understand what's the chilek, why in fact by Shemen, according to Shita's Rashi, even less than shnei lugin would be possible. Masha'en can by kaimetz of the Levona, it's only possible if you had shnei kematzim. Less than shnei kematzim would be kosher. What's the difference? So the Rajba says as far, because by loik shemen, it's a set amount. Memela, Rashi Shita is that any addition would be possible. You have to have exactly one loik, not more. However, by koimetz levoina, it's totally in the hands of the koin, how big his hand is. So every person's koimetz is different. So therefore, they made a shear that it's kosher up. You can't say this amount is possible when my chavar, if he has it, that's going to be a regular kaimet. So therefore, every amount is good up till shnei kamtzim. Once you've reached shnei kamtzim, that's a red line, and therefore it'll possible even by a levoina. So this is the difference between the set amount of loig and the arbitrary amount of the fist of the koyin, depending on how big it is, that it only becomes possible by a koyin that's levoina when it gets up to shnei kematzim. There are many other explanations. The Karen Oira gives a pshat, the Sfas Emes, the Taras HaKoydish, the Chazoyin Ish, Perichov Aleph Yud says a pshat, Ayin Shom. Continues the Gemara, the Omer Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama also said, Hifrish lo shnei kematzim. If he was mafrish for the mincha, shnei tu kematzim, he was mafrish tu kematzim of levoina for the kaimitz of the mincha. V'aver echad mehem. He was only supposed to be mafresh one. He was mafresh two, which we just learned that hifreshnei kamatzim pasels of the levoina. But then one got lost. And when did it get lost? V'aver echad mehem kaidem kemitza, before he did the actual kemitza. So loy hukfo, it did not become established that extra, that additional kaimitz for this mincha, and memela, it doesn't pasel it. But if acher kmitza hukvu, but if it got lost after he made kmitza, then at the time of kmitza, it was established, it was connected with the kmitza, and at that time it was yeser, and it was how much yeser? Double, which is the shear that passels by an extra kaimetz levoina. So memela there, it is possel. V'omer Rami Bar Chama, and the same Rami Bar Chama says another halacha concerning the levona with the lechem upon him in the bezichin. Hifrish arba kmatzim l'shnei bezichin. Instead of giving each cup one, each spoon giving one kaimetz, which was a total of two, he gave each spoon two kamatzim, which is a total of four. Hifrish arba kamatzim lishnei bezichin to the two spoons. Va'avdu shnayim hen kaidim silik bezichin. And before you remove the bezichin, in order to be makter the levona that's in the bezichin. And when was that done? After they brought the korban musaf. So if these two got lost before you removed the spoons from the shulchan, so the din is lehukfu, they did not get yet connected to the lechem upon him, and therefore they will not pasul. There won't be a psul of yeser. But la'acher silik bezichin. But if you removed the two spoons, hukfu, they became established, they became connected to the lechem upon him, and it comes out that the lechem upon him had too much levona in the bezichim, and therefore it will pasel. Ask the Gemara, what did Rami Bar Chama have to tell me, the identical din, both by the levona of the kaimitz mincha, and the levona of the lechem upon him, a sulamali, hainach, it's the same halacha. So the Gemara answers, mao, the same I would have thought, there's a difference. Kivin debor kaimitz dida, since by the levona. So the levona serves as a kometz of the lechem upon him. What kmitza is to a mincha, that's what the levona is to the lechem upon him. The lechem upon him is the mincha, the levona is the kometz. But the difference is that the levona that is put on the kometz mincha, it has to wait for the kohen to make the kmitza from the entire mincha. Whereas the levona, which in the bezichin, which is serving as a comparable kometz to the lechem upon him, that the kohen doesn't have to do anything. It's already separated. It's waiting there in the spoon for haktara. So memela mao, the same kivin debor kometz dida, since its kometz of the levona connected to lechem upon him is already designated. It's already been established. It's lying there, sitting in the spoons in the bezichin. So I would have thought kivin shigiyas mana, once the time came, which means after the musaf korban was nikrav on Shabbos. Kivin shigiyas mana leporka, when, and now it comes the time to be porek, to remove the bezichin from the shulchan. Even if he didn't do it yet, commander prekadami, I would have thought it's already considered as if he had done it. It's tantamount to him having removed it. All I'm waiting for is the zman. I'm not waiting for any selection. It's already pre-selected in the spoons. And therefore, I don't need him to actually do the Meister Prika. And if it got lost at that moment, and he had not yet done the Meister Prika, removing it from the shulchan, I would have thought that it's considered as if he had removed it. And memela, it became hukva, the extra levona to this lechem upon him, would pasel it. Kamash melon, that's the chiddush. That's what Rami Bar Chama had to tell you, that no, that as long as he, in actuality, did not remove the levona and the bezichin from the shulchan, it's considered loy hukva. And if it's loy hukva and it got lost, Memeil will come out that this lachem upon him will not become possible because of an extra lavon. It would only have to wait till after it was removed, and if then it got lost, then it would possible because it comes out that the lachem upon him at that point had an extra lavon. That's the chiddush of the second halacha, and that's why Rabbi Bar Chama had to repeat it.